big show for you here today as another Mock Draft Monday is in the books. Dalton Del Don joins me to recap a full PPR start three wide receiver mock draft. Starting three wide receivers. You know I have a lot to say, and Dalton has a lot to say about why Malik Nabers is a great pick in the third round, why the second round is not so strong at the wide receiver position, and we have plenty of discussion about my pick of DJ Moore. A lot of stuff to get to. Let's waste no more time. Let's get into it. It's Monday, August 5th. I'm Matt Harmon. Welcome to the Yahoo Fantasy Forecast. It is a hell of a day to talk ball, and joining me to do just that is Dalton Del Don. Dalton, what's going on, buddy?
Not much, Harmon. How's it going? I'm pretty sure you recently had a birthday, so I'd be remiss to not say happy birthday, my brother. I didn't shoot you a text because I knew we'd be doing this pod soon after.
I appreciate that. I got to have the exact birthday I wanted, which is went to a great restaurant here in town, got a giant tomahawk steak, drank some good wine, and my wife watched The Phantom Menace with me the night after the dinner. So, yeah, that was exactly the birthday that I wanted. It was perfect. So thank you. Appreciate that, Dalton. Yeah, it was a good weekend, but we're back, Dalton, to taping pods because we're 5 days a week, buddy. Okay. I mean, this is electric. I am with you now. We're all with you now, Monday to Friday out there, audience. What a dream, because draft season is really here. Things have really kicked off. On that note, programming note for all of you out there, sign up for Yahoo Fantasy Football League if you haven't already. I mean, for God's sakes, you're listening to this podcast, so you should be signed up for a league. But if you need another reason, I've got a great one for you. Yahoo Sports and NBC are teaming up for a $1 million sweepstakes. Here's how you enter. You sign up for a private Yahoo Fantasy Football League, and you draft your team. Boom. Easy. If any of those players you start scores a touchdown in the week one games on NBC and Peacock, you're going to earn bonus entries into the sweepstakes. Each person can earn up to 8 entries, just one for signing up, and up to 7 more for touchdowns scored in those 3 games. Deadline for entries is September 5th. Visit yahoo.com/fantasymillion to join. Speaking of drafting, a lot of you are going to be doing that this month, and that is why each week here on August, we're going to have a central theme to the pods. This week is rankings week, and as you know, every Monday, we have Mock Draft Monday here for you. A really good look at the biggest observation from our recent staff mock draft. Today, we've got a 12-team full PPR start three wide receiver mock draft, Dalton. And I got to say, this one was pretty fascinating. What do you think about it overall?
Yeah, it was a fun one. I got the 8th pick, and frankly, we'll discuss this, but I think there's a clear-cut top eight this season, so my decision was easy for me. And you, nice, we picked back-to-back here. You swooped me a couple times. But yeah, I feel like you really need to make a tougher decision if you don't have a top 8 pick this year. So you were left with that. I made some mistakes. I'll happy to critique myself. But yeah, this was a fun one, full PPR. And yeah, let's get to it.
Well, I'm glad you said that you made a few mistakes because I definitely feel like I did not like a few of my picks. And the fact that you and I were picking back to back and you were going to do this mock draft, that was this mock draft recap here was not set up, but it did work out really well. And as you mentioned, you had the 8th pick, I had the 9th pick, and I was sitting there, you know, doing the draft and just like, please, Dalton, don't take this player, but I know he's going to take this player. And you ultimately did, which I think really screwed up my entire plan going forward. So let's get into it. Let's first talk about your team here because you picked 8th in the draft. I just want to recap Dalton's team by round here. First round, 8th pick overall. Dalton goes Bijan Robinson. Second round comes back with Devon Achane. Round 3, Malik Nabers. I thought that was an interesting pick. Round 4, Trey McBride. Round 5, T. Higgins. By the way, for those of you who are Dalton fans, you should not be surprised to know that the average age of Dalton's first 5 picks was 22.8. Dalton, 22.8, the average age of those first five players. Round six, he finally gets old here with James Conner. Round seven, he goes DeAndre Hopkins. Worth noting, we did this draft before the news of DeAndre Hopkins' knee injury. But Dalton gets back on track here with his youth here. In round eight, Xavier Worthy. Round nine, Jaden Daniels. Tyler Lockett in round 10. Caleb Williams in round 11. Jalen Wright, round 12. Round 13, he goes for a pure homer pick with the 49ers defense. Jermaine Burton in round 14, Kyahmi Fairbairn in round 15, and then Denaric Prince in round 16. Dalton, this was a very Dalton Del Don team with a lot of the young dudes here.
Yeah, no doubt. So the way I look at drafts this year, there are basically seven running backs that I want to come away with one of them. And in the middle of round two, I'm just not enamored with a lot of these receivers, so I'm happy to take a second one of those running backs, and it's Achane. In this case, feels a little irresponsible to recommend my readers to draft him this high. I get it. It's very risky, Achane. I mean, no question about it. But I've just been in there. You took Derrick Henry in a PPR. So in full PPR, I don't love going running back, but the question I just come down to is like, I mean, I've reached for Drake London. I just don't feel great about it. I mean, as you point out, 1,100 yards and seven touchdowns is a win. There. I'm higher on Waddle and really higher on Cup. Cup is my next receiver after Harrison's off. He's my number 10 receiver. So in the all summer long, I've been waiting round four and five and getting him. Cup was gone by the time my pick came back here in the middle of round three. So I could see myself, if the hype continues, all these reports that he is back to his old self. The latest one even said the Rams offense is being featured through him. I'm pretty sure Puka Nacua, who's no question an alpha, he established himself as the real deal. He ran more routes last season, or close to it, than his whole college career. So, you know, he's done it one time. So, like, there's also upside to Cup of what if Nacua gets dinged up, too. So, Cup was the number one receiver,
not to cut you off, Dalton, but that literally happened in practice this week. I just saw a tweet, like, right before we got started here from Jordan Rodriguez that Puka Nacua had some ice on his knee. So, yeah, it's the Rams have been super banged up on the offensive line too. So it's not this is the tweet from Jordan Rodriguez. Puka Nacua left practice a little over an hour into team drills. He did not return to play, but stayed in uniform, helmet on the sideline. He had a bag of ice wrapped around his right knee. Sean McVay says he's, quote, not sure what happened.
And their other options are DeMarcus Robinson, Colby Parkinson, or who's your guy, your tight end?
Davis Allen.
Not many options there. So what my main point I'm trying to get around to is, while I do like these young guys, I could see myself drafting Cooper Kupp in the middle of round two in PPR leagues, in a couple weeks from now. Because if not, I'm drafting Achane or Henry. I'm reaching for them. I see so many similar wide receivers that come back in round three. And a guy like Achane, even if he misses four games, he's probably the most likely player to win my week any given week or whatever, one of the three or four or whatever guys. So I'm kind of going there, and I kind of have a similar feeling to Connor, who I can get later, which we'll talk about. So are you with me here on the ambiguity of these wide receivers in round two?
Yeah, 100%, man. Like, I look at some of the running backs that went in round, or excuse me, some of the wide receivers that went in round two. Obviously, Marvin Harrison, Scott Pienowski, 13th overall pick. I thought Scott was anti-Marvin Harrison. I can't wait to read the recap, by the way, on that, which I was actually having a conversation with a few people over the weekend about Marvin Harrison and you know, where he ranks and everything. And initially, I thought I was going to be a little skeptical about Marvin Harrison going this high, and you know, ahead of guys like Drake London that we've seen play in the NFL before, ahead of Davante Adams, ahead of like Mike Evans and Nico Collins and these guys. But I have kind of come around to it. I have Marvin Harrison as my 10th ranked wide receiver. I just think he checks so many boxes. One, we haven't seen him play in the NFL, but I think he will be good. I think the ecosystem's better than people realize there in Arizona, and there's not a huge amount of target competition like there would be for Nico Collins, for example. So I've come around on Marvin Harrison, but still very aggressive, top of the second round. Chris Olave, I'm curious where you're at with Chris Olave as the third pick in the second round here. I don't necessarily know that I love that. You mentioned Drake London, Mike Evans, who we talked about, I just mentioned a little bit, but certainly there's some risk there with Dave Canales moving on. You know, maybe Chris Godwin taking on a bigger role. And then Davante Adams is the final pick in the second round here. I mean, I can get myself to a place where I think Aiden O'Connell is a decent quarterback, but I'm not even sure he's going to start the entire season. Like, I don't love taking a receiver in round two where I already have to start making quarterback excuses. So I am with you. This is not a great second round for wide receivers this year.
Yeah, it's a ton of questions from Davante Adams. Fantasy production dropped three straight seasons, and just the quarterback there, his own teammate had the same number of top 12 fantasy weeks last year in Jacoby Myers. But we could pick warts with Olave. I have not been landing in a lot of drafts, but I moved him up my rankings because I can see it with all the added motion, and I think he is a really good player. But just like Drake London, he's being drafted ahead of his fantasy production warrants, or at least his past. So I think there's questions with these receivers that you're going to get similar ones in round three, but there's no problem to keep stacking them because once you get, you know, past a certain threshold, they really fall off. So you went with a similar strategy, Derrick Henry. Let's talk about your team. And what I really want to hear from is AJ Brown versus Garrett Wilson. It's an important decision. I have Wilson over Brown just because the unknown, but maybe that's irresponsible with AJ Brown's second half, but Kellen Moore, who's going to benefit more? Devonta Smith, maybe both are, but I really want to hear you talk about Brown and Wilson. And was that an easy decision or was it a tough one?
Yeah. So let's go through my team, cause that'll get us into this discussion. With the ninth pick in the first round, I did go AJ Brown. Round two, I came back with Derrick Henry because, as I mentioned, I didn't love those wide receiver options. Drake London, Mike Evans, Davante Adams are the wide receivers that went after. I just didn't love that. And we could talk through more of that decision because you went Achane right after. But round three, I went DJ Moore. Round four, I went Stephon Diggs. Round five, Jaden Reed. Round six, Ramondre Stevenson. Round seven, Kyler Murray. Round eight, Jaylen Warren. Probably my favorite pick that I made, to be honest with you. Round nine, Brian Thomas. Round 10, Dallas Goedert. Round 11, Dontavian Wicks. Round 12, Rico Dowdle. Round 13, had to do it, Rashad Bateman, baby. Round 14, Audric Estime. And then I went kicker and defense. In the final two rounds, I went Matt Gay and the Texans defense. Who cares? Don't have a lot of takes there. But yeah, back to the AJ Brown thing. So you said that the first eight picks are solidified for you, right?
Yeah, 100%. It's yes. Yes.
Yeah, I feel the exact same way. So in that vein, it was not an easy decision, because my confidence level in terms of this guy is a round one fantasy pick, it absolutely drops off at that eighth spot with Bijan Robinson in this draft. So the first eight picks went Christian McCaffrey, Tyreek Hill, CeeDee Lamb, Breece Hall, Justin Jefferson, Ja'Marr Chase, Amon-Ra St. Brown, and then Bijan Robinson. And yeah, like I said, I'm sitting there in the draft room thinking, Dalton, just please let one of these dudes fall to me, whether it's Bijan Robinson or Amon-Ra St. Brown. I figured it was probably not going to happen. You didn't let it happen. So I do think AJ Brown's the next best pick off the board here, though, especially in a full PPR. We got to start three wide receivers in this league. I, number one, think that AJ Brown should have had 2,000 yards last year. Just watching him charting his routes for reception perception, I think he was awesome. I don't think any of the production drop off had anything to do with him. I think he's still a fantastic, you know, bare minimum top five wide receiver in the league. I still think there's a pretty significant gap between how good AJ Brown is and how good Devontae Smith is. And I'm a big Devontae Smith fan. So me saying that has nothing to do with how I feel about Smith. It's more just Brown is still an elite wide receiver in the prime of his career. And I do think that the transition to Kellen Moore's offense probably should benefit AJ Brown. I think it's going to benefit Devontae Smith too, but Brown's route tree was just so static last year. I think they'll get him on the move, but there's no doubt that I think the risk of the overall ecosystem not quite hitting on all cylinders for a full 17 games is still very alive here. So while I feel best about him among the next best options like Garrett Wilson and Puka Nacua, it's not as secure as the first eight picks, if that makes sense.
AJ Brown was so dominant the first half of the year. Barkley, really, the underlying stats aren't pretty. He may not be a big factor as far as taking away any production from Brown. Kellen Moore using more motion. They're fast pace. Maybe Jalen Hurts doesn't rush 15 touchdowns. And Garrett Wilson, as much as I love the upside, Aaron Rodgers, I don't know, some video of him, he's still over 40 and dealing with a torn Achilles. So there's definitely some risk there. So I can see it. I'm not going to push back at all. I mean, would Wilson be your next pick, though? Was he the guy you were debating the most?
Yeah, for sure. God, love Garrett Wilson, such a good player. And even if the Jets are like the 18th best offense in the NFL, he should dominate the target tree there to the point that I think he can be a round one fantasy receiver. So yeah, he'd be my next guy there.
All right, let's talk big dog Derrick Henry in a PPR league. It's tough. It definitely with Lamar Jackson throwing to him in a PPR league. But man, are you just a little worried that every single person thinks he's going to score 20 touchdowns?
Because
I thought I was being contrarian when I ranked him 2 months ago. And there's another old guy I'm in. But man, everyone's expecting just such a monster season there. And even Justice Hill's getting talked up. But Henry can score 20 touchdowns even with a 55% snap share. I mean, it's I'm certainly not going to criticize this pick.
I'm so glad you said that, because I've been saying that on some private like meetings, like calls and stuff like that, internal calls here. We're putting together the draft day blueprint piece again, and had a discussion with our three wonderful editors, Jason Klobaka, Mo, and Kate Majuk, who are all in this draft as well. And I said, I was like, you know, I don't know if it's just the natural contrarian in me, but I can't help thinking that the fact that every fantasy analyst thinks, or, you know, it was more like you said a couple of months ago, people were, well, you can get the guy who's going to lead the NFL in rushing touchdowns in the third round. Why wouldn't you do it? I feel like I've heard every fantasy analyst say that, or something to the degree of, he could score 20 touchdowns this season. He could lead the NFL in touchdowns, blah, blah. The fact that everybody's on board with it makes me extremely nervous that it's just not going to work out. That is the dumbest analysis I could possibly have. But typically, if we are all just assuming something for a player at this point in his career, it's definitely risky, especially, and, you know, look, we just saw Derrick Henry run behind a porous offensive line last year with the Tennessee Titans, probably the worst offensive line in the league. But it is worth noting that Baltimore has a lot of offensive line turnover this year. You know, when I like on Football 301 with Nate Tyson, Charles McDonald, I still had the Ravens as a top 10 offense. Their first pushback was, They've lost a significant amount of their offense, like three offensive line starters, and they're breaking in guys who are by and large unproven as full-time starters. So there's definitely risk. The fact that the defense might take a step back without Mike McDonald, they might not be in so many run first game scripts. And yeah, Justice Hill might find his way onto the field more often in those scenarios. He's definitely not a perfect fantasy pick. I think if this was Derrick Henry, you know, 4 years ago, he'd be a top five pick with the Ravens. So I feel okay about taking him in round two, but I wouldn't say that it was just a no brainer, felt confident about it pick.
Yeah, I was going to bring up the offensive line as well. Brandon Thorne, ETR's main offensive line guy, has him like 28th offensive line entering this year. But Lamar Jackson and the RP should help free that up. I mean, Henry's run into more than 120 more eight-man boxes than any other running back the last three seasons. Lamar helped the Ravens running back score the fourth most fantasy points last year. I mean, that's with Gus Edwards and company. Do you just look at this, not only the shotgun splits, which should help his new going to Baltimore, but the it's crazy as splits and wins and losses, Henry. And the Ravens are favored to win, projected to win 11-plus games this season. And I know his age and his career mileage is 2,000 carries, but he was not a starter the first few years in the league. And you look at this, bring up this guy's high school tape, he's just built different. With Derrick Henry leaving the Titans, going to the Ravens, I'm not going to criticize this pick, like I said.
Do you feel, again, just some of these other round two running backs, I have generally viewed it that Henry and Saquon Barkley, there's a gap between them and Achan, who you took, Kyren Williams, who went in the seventh pick in the second round, Isaiah Pacheco went in round two here, which is pretty aggressive, but I actually don't mind it. I have viewed those guys as almost like a tier ahead, like the veterans Henry and Saquon Barkley. But is that kind of a misguided approach by me?
These are big decisions you have to make if you're picking these running backs. I'm coming out with a Dalton versus expert consensus ranks, and I may be only a couple spots off, but I have Barkley as my RB8, and that means you're not going to get him, because I'm taking Achan and I'm taking Henry over Barkley. Just look at the underlying stats. They're really in decline. I know he's improving his offensive line, but he's going to a Philadelphia team that has produced the fifth fewest fantasy points the last couple years for running backs. Kyren Williams, big injury prone. Corum is now getting some steam. I mean, Kyren Williams has missed more than 35% of the games since being drafted. Mm. And don't forget that broken hand in the playoffs would have had him miss more games too. I mean, it's hard for me to say that and then say draft Achan there.
Of course,
get it.
Yeah, but that was going to be my first thing to say there.
No doubt. And Henry's mileage too. Maybe you consider him an injury risk as well. But these are the decisions you have to make. And Etienne, I have him is being drafted too high this year as well. After a year, I had him ranked too low. You just look at the first and second half splits. I don't think he can hold up as a workhorse. It was proven. I mean, you look at the not just yards per carry, but his usage over the second half last year really, really declined after the bye week. He was the RB3 the first 9 weeks and the RB23 from weeks 10 through 18. And I don't think Tank Bigsby's any good, but it'll be someone who will get him some more touches there. Etienne's due for regression. He had twice as many touchdowns last year despite seeing fewer red zone carries. So I think there's question marks with those guys. Give me the upside of Achan and Henry.
Yeah, I'll say just this note from this draft too. There's only four running backs drafted in round one. We've mentioned them. It was Christian McCaffrey. It was Jonathan Taylor. It was Bijan Robinson and Breece Hall. Not in that order. You and Katie Braun, new fantasy social editors, the only two teams that started running back. Seven went off the board in round two, and then we didn't see another one go off the board until round four. Alvin Kamara at the 39th overall pick. And I'll be honest with you, man. I mean, I don't love Alvin Kamara this year. I think there's some risk there, but. You know, these guys that we're talking about, Kyren Williams, Travis Etienne, even Achan, you know, maybe again, I think you might be a little higher on Achan. Not that I feel like I'm low on him, but still, I don't think there's a huge gap between those players and like Rashad White, Josh Jacobs, James Cook. And, you know, Rashad White went in the fourth round in this draft. James Cook went in the fifth round in this draft. Josh Jacobs, also a fourth rounder. So I don't know if that's going to be the standard fare in like a full PPR league. I do think there can be some wisdom to just completely avoiding this tier of running backs and maybe going a little bit later, but maybe that's just me.
Well, my favorite target of even more than those running backs is James Conner. I have him as my RB13, and he's going in the behind those guys, like right around 20. I think you took Stevenson ahead of him. Stevenson typically goes ahead of him. So it's weird. Yes, I like the young guys and all the rookies. I think I drafted six rookies in this draft.
Yeah, what is this? You like James Conner? I mean, that makes no sense.
Cooper Kupp and Derrick Henry and James Conner. I'm making – it's either old veterans on the cliff or rookies. No in between. But man, I mean, Connor had the most fantasy points from week 13 on last year, finished third in rush yards over expectations. I wanted to like Trey Benson as my guy. And when he first drafted, I was all about, you know, the same, next new thing in this offense that I like, but you look more into it. It's not to say that Connor's going to be, as good as he was last year, but literally only McCaffrey and Achan were better runners. He led all running backs in 20 plus yard carries. The Arizona was a top 10 offense in EPA per play over the second half. The rushing attack led the NFL in yards per carry and EPA per attempt after week 10 last year. I mean, Trey McBride looks like a star. They're adding Marvin Harrison to this offense. Should be fast paced. I love the offensive coordinator. And looking deeper into Benson, low athleticism score. He's currently fighting no names for the RB2 job. I know it's super early for that, but I just think Connor's going to miss four games again is what's going to happen. But he'll be a top five fantasy back during the games he plays. And Benson's nice insurance if he emerges. And if you go ahead and use a 10th round pick on him, then if you draft Connor, and hopefully he'll be a nice replacement. But I don't think Benson's the type of back who's going to steal meaningful touches. And this Arizona offense is a piece. You want a piece of this offense. And I think Connor, yes, boring, probably likely to miss three or four games like he usually does. But if he's a top five back weekly, that's going to be so much more worth his ADP.
Totally with you that I've cooled a little bit on Benson after being, you know, no doubt he was going to overtake this backfield. Just thinking about it more, getting off the rookie fever. He went in the ninth round of this draft, which I think is totally fair. You still want to take the shot on a player like that because everything you said about the offense, I totally agree. I think the ecosystem is just so much better. I mean, I took Kyler Murray in the seventh round of this draft and I felt great about it because I overall think this Cardinals offense is going to outkick expectations. And it's going to be a good environment, maybe not a great NFL team, but I think it's going to be a good fantasy football environment. There's going to be points scored here. So you want to take the running back from that area. And you're definitely higher on James Conner than I am, but I get it. I do understand the argument here for a guy like James Conner. I just think there are other players ahead of, like I'd rather have Jaylen Warren, who I took in the eighth round, over James Conner. Is that crazy?
I mean, I think Connor's going to score the touchdowns there, and they're going to split the pie. I mean, first of all, you do not have to draft Connor. I have him ranked. There's all these guys, Jacobs, White, Mixon, Kenneth Walker, Kamara, Aaron Jones, Montgomery, Stevenson. I'll go ahead of him. So I just love to be in a target there, especially if you – it worked better if I only came away with one back and didn't go back-to-back. It was too many running backs, and I went early McBride too. That's what kind of pushed me off reaching for Richardson. I made some mistakes here in a full PPR. I wish I was a little bit deeper at wide receiver. But I think Connor, I'm on board with. I think everyone should target him in round six, especially if you only have one running back or none at the time. I'll stand by that. I'm sure the injury guys I'm getting behind, Achane, Connor, and Richardson. I'm sure that'll end well.
Yeah, absolutely. No pressure there. Okay, I do want to talk about Malik Nabers, who you went with in the third round in this draft. Eighth pick in the third round. I went DJ Moore, the pick after. DK Metcalf, Devontae Smith, Amari Cooper were all right after. And then George Pickens was the top of the fourth round. Zay Flowers, top of the fourth round, right behind Pickens there. Dalton, I love Malik Nabers. I think he's a great player. I am just very worried that the Giants are going to be the worst offense in the league. I have him as the 25th ranked wide receiver right now. Behind, again, a lot of the guys we just talked about. I wouldn't take George Pickens over him, but pretty much everybody else I talked about there, I would take ahead of Malik Nabers. Am I wrong in this?
Well, Nabers is interesting. On some sites, his ADP is just so drastically different, and I guess I land on the more aggressive end here. Again, I didn't want to take Nabers here. I wanted Cup, and he gets routinely available around middle of round three. But yes, Nabers was definitely the next guy on my rankings. Just a crazy college career, topping 3,000 yards and 21 touchdowns. He has a lot of college metrics, was more impressive than Marvin Harrison Jr., and Nabers has not turned 21 years old. There's other stuff out there, like he wasn't great against press and he did a lot of his production on slants. How's that going to translate? But man, he puts up a highlight every other practice. How are they not going to give him a million targets? Stephon Diggs averaged 165 targets in this Dable offense. Daniel Jones had a near league average success rate with Dable. I think he can be competent if he's back fully healthy. Maybe I'm off on that. Dable's like runs crazy. He's like top five, no huddle rate, super top three in pace last year with a bad offense. So now that he has Nabers, no Darren Waller, no Saquon Barkley. I mean, it's a joke the rest of the play. How is he not week one? How is he not going to, they're going to lose and he's going to have 14 targets and everyone's going to be like, oh boy, we should. I mean, I just don't see how they're not going to be a million targets to this guy on a team always losing.
For the record, Malik Nabers did turn 21 on July 28th. So
okay, I was off happy, week. Sorry. All right.
Happy birthday to Malik Nabers there. Happy belated. But yeah, he is a super young player. Man, I'm just very curious as to how they're going to deploy him because the rest of the receiver room is so lacking, right? But they have a lot of guys who are primary slot players. Malik Nabers was a primary slot player in college. Now I think he can function and win outside, but I just wonder if there'll be a little bit of a learning curve there. The fact that there's like a new Malik Nabers highlight on your Twitter timeline every week could not possibly move me less for two reasons. One, I don't know who's playing DB for the Giants, but like, give me a break. Number two, the Giants are a huge media market. These aggregators have the aggregators have a incentive to post Malik Nabers highlights because they're going to get shared and retweeted and the whole thing. So couldn't care less about that. But I don't know. I think he's more of a safer fourth round pick than a third round pick. But you're right that for sure he could have 14 targets in week one, and we're having a very, very different conversation here. I just think that the floor potential for a player like this on a weekly basis, I do think is a little problematic until I see the deployment. Now, because again, if they're going to do sort of like the comparison I've made, like a rookie season Jalen Waddle type of situation where they're feeding him a lot of things underneath and just trying to get him loose after the catch, despite the fact that he's an explosive downfield receiver, I do think that's going to boost his fantasy floor with a lot of like garbage production. But again, it boosts the fantasy floor. But for now, I think that there is a chance that the weekly floor could be pretty problematic just because I'm not quite sure how they're going to deploy him yet.
Yeah, I just think he looks like the new Chase, but I'm completely open to being wrong here. I mean, it is definitely a leap of faith in the middle of the third round. But having said that, in Yahoo drafts right now, he's going 50 picks after Marvin Harrison. And again, this guy had a lot of underlying metrics better than Harrison as a younger player in college, and a similar setup, only Harrison, yes, the better quarterback, but also the league's best tight end to compete for targets. So I think we'll get to McBride pick here soon, but yeah, Neighbors is just a guy I'm going to swing for the fences if Cup's not there or Waddle. I love both those guys, and they believe they went picks right before it. Yeah. So talk about DJ Moore, because he's an interesting one. I actually used him as my hardest player to rank this year. I mean, on one hand, this guy was a top five fantasy receiver with Justin Fields last year. Caleb Williams could be an immediate star. Keenan Allen has an injury history. He's 32 years old. Adunze was sidelined by this offensive coordinator sidelined JSN last year. Moore had the highest first-read target share in third and fourth downs last year. But on the other hand, you know, we're dealing with he's on a franchise that's never had a quarterback produce 4,000 yards or 30 touchdown passes. And Caleb Williams showed flaws as a rookie. Keenan Allen remains a target hog. And Adunze, you had Adunze ranked ahead of Neighbors, right? You have correct. Him yes. as a better yep. Yep. prospect entering this year. I should have brought that up. I read that as a note, but you actually like Adunze better as a player right now entering the league than this dope I'm taking Neighbors, you know, in the round three. Interesting. I should maybe listen to my podcast partner.
To be clear, I have there's like a huge gap in my rankings between Adunze and Malik Neighbors this year because of the situation. But I do have Rome Adunze ranked ahead of Keenan Allen this year. I'm gonna fade Keenan Allen Ooh, for the second year in a row and look like a jackass spicy. Probably again. But just I think the upside with Adunze is pretty significant, and the fact that this offensive coordinator did push Jaxon Smith-Njigba to the side, but there's a couple of things to consider here. One, Shane Waldron being the offensive coordinator, by the way, with Seattle last year, with Chicago this year. One, JSN did miss time in preseason and in training camp a little bit with an injury. So any missed time for rookie wide receivers in the offseason stinks. It's just you can really put yourself behind the eight ball, behind the learning curve by doing that. And two, they view JSN as a almost slot only player. I don't think he is a slot only player, but that was clearly going to be his role with this team. And so he's coming off the field in two receiver sets. Rome Adunze is not a slot receiver. Rome Adunze might play more snaps at X receiver than DJ Moore this year. I actually think that might be best for the Chicago Bears wide receiver corps. So he should, if he's good and locked in, he should be on the field for every single snap. And I think Keenan Allen's the guy who's the slot only player at this point in his career. Now, if I had to bet week one, week two, week three, I think Keenan Allen probably does outsnap Rome Adunze, but just if Adunze continues to come on, if Caleb Williams, who clearly loves Rome Adunze, continues to prefer the rookie wide receiver, I think over time there will be a flip there. But for DJ Moore, I don't know. Look, I've got him ranked right now as my 19th wide receiver. He was just the next player on my board from a receiver perspective here. I don't know that I like love him as a third round pick, but the guy legitimately played like a top 10 NFL wide receiver last year, was awesome with Justin Fields, showed that he can win in multiple ways. I think the fact that DJ Moore is not just a great vertical X receiver, but can also be fed designed short underneath touches. You mentioned he was a first read target share dominator last year. I think he should be the first read player for the Chicago Bears. I do think there's top 15 wide receiver upside for DJ Moore. Maybe not wide receiver one upside in this receiver room with all these guys, but such a good player in the prime of his career with what should be an upgraded quarterback, even if Caleb Williams, like we can't bet on rookie quarterbacks all being needle movers. I have Caleb Williams, my 20th ranked fantasy quarterback at the bottom of my fourth tier, just because I don't expect him to run like Jaden Daniels, who you took here. But overall, yeah, I just think this offense should be a little bit better than it was certainly last year with Justin Fields, and DJ Moore is just, I think, a little too good to be denied here.
I don't know if I'm ready to do Neighbors versus Moore as our yearly wide receiver bet, but I will point out Moore's averages 4.8 touchdowns during his career. So that stat I mentioned where he averaged, we saw 45.5% first read target share on third and fourth downs last year. The player who was third was Keenan Allen. So, I mean, he's with Keenan Allen, Adunze, outdoors, DJ Moore. Yeah, I'm taking Neighbors 8 days a week there, but we'll probably look foolish.
Oh, yeah, you love Malik Neighbors in the outdoor weather with Drew Locke playing December and January games.
I love the pushback. These are so fair. I know. And he's never shown it in the level. Who knows? Okay. But DJ Moore was a legitimate star last year, and Justin Fields would throw into him. I mean, fair. And full PPR here, too, probably bumps up DJ Moore a little, too.
Okay, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll finish recapping our teams, and then we'll go through a few larger points from this mock draft. All right, we're back. Dalton, I do just want to ask you about Stephon Diggs in round four, because I love Stephon Diggs, but I think this might have been my least favorite pick that I made here. Honestly, I just think I kind of think the fourth round sucks this year. I didn't love basically any of the picks that went off the board here in the fourth round. And to be honest with people, this is generally just how it goes when you start drafting again. I'm not like some of your favorite best ball analysts. I've not done 100 best ball drafts by this time this year. So I'm still getting kind of my feet wet with drafting and everything, starting to feel out how this goes. This is the reality of round four in a typical draft like this. There is a fall off rounds 4 to 5. You start becoming a lot less confident in the picks. I wouldn't get attached to anybody round four and beyond, because I think a lot of these players have pretty significant holes in their resume. You know, you took Trey McBride right after me. I don't mind Trey McBride as a fourth round pick, but I wanted to experiment a little bit with how I'd feel about the later tight ends, and we can talk about that in a second. But you took Trey McBride, Josh Allen, Josh Jacobs, Rashad White, Tank Dell, Jalen Hurts, Lamar Jackson, Travis Kelce. The quarterbacks are fine here, but from a receiver's perspective, didn't love a lot of the guys available. So I just kind of closed my eyes and went with Stephon Diggs, even though he is a declining player in a potentially crowded offense.
So from a construction standpoint, this is where I think I made my mistake. I should have went Tank Dell here after having two running backs. And then in round six, I would have grabbed Kittle over James Conner. I have Kittle over Dalton Kincaid. I think he's a great target in round 6 or 7 because he's one of the tight ends and going the latest. So I'm not even a homer pick. I haven't been on Kittle in a few years, but he's just quietly just getting a little disrespected, I think. But I love McBride. That's why I went instead, because I'm with you. This is kind of a dead zone, this round four. I didn't know. So that's why I went with my number one tight end, Trey McBride. Led all tight ends in first downs per route run last season. That's one of the absolute best indicators at predicting future fantasy success. He just posted the best yards per route run mark by a tight end under 25 over the last decade. He was a standout college player. Look at his dominator rating. Mm-hmm. They're crazy, crazy impressive. We just forget because he was buried behind Zach Ertz in Arizona there. But he commanded a 29% target share after becoming a full-time starter after week 8 last year. In fact, he recorded 20-plus target share in 12 straight games after becoming a starter. Sam Laporta reached that in just 6 games all of last year. McBride had only 5 fewer catches while starting 12 games than Laporta. Kelce, I took over Kelce. Hey, I could be wrong again at Kelce, but someone that age and with added weapons, give me the young guy in the ascending offense. Kyler Murray, another year after ACL surgery. We talk about the pace there. So I just love McBride.
I have Trey McBride as my number 3 tight end. I have all these guys as tier 1 players, Kelce, Laporta, McBride. And I also have Andrews as a tier 1 tight end this year. So sure. I've actually been getting Andrews a lot in recent drafts. But I will say I'm a little concerned. I can go both ways on the Trey McBride thing, because one, I say this anecdote a lot with Trey McBride, but I'll never forget one of the like late season games last year when the broadcast shared that Kyler and Jonathan Gannon, the whole coaching staff, said to Trey McBride, like, we think you are so good. We want you to improvise on your routes and just, we don't care what the play call is. Just find the soft spot in the zone. Be Travis Kelce, basically, like Pat Mahomes, and Kyler Murray's going to find you there. So on the one hand, I love that. I think that is a clear indication of how good Trey McBride is. You mentioned the first downs per route run. The yards per route run are all really good. I do wonder, though, if we're going to see a lot more kind of 6 to 7 target games from Trey McBride now that they have Marvin Harrison Jr. in there. And Michael Wilson, I think, had a very underrated rookie wide receiver season. I think he's going to take a step forward in his second year. He's a guy that down the stretch last year, Kyler Murray really went to in tight coverage situations. Didn't work out so well in the Bears game, but then in the Eagles game and the Seahawks final, those were pretty good moments for Michael Wilson. So I do wonder if we end up seeing a lot fewer of these like 11, you know, 10 target games for Trey McBride with the added weaponry there in Arizona.
I think it'll improve efficiency. And yes, the targets are not going to be out of control because Marvin Harrison will be there. But man, I think it'll be a more efficient offense in a lot of shootouts in the NFC West. I just see the Seahawks, Niners, Rams. I just see those games being really high scoring with a bad sure. Arizona defense. So I just want to be tied to that Arizona offense. So you stole Murray from me. That's another thing. I could have done this all differently if I went Tank Dell there, and then in round 7 I wouldn't have felt so pressured to get a receiver, and that would have been a perfect time to get Kyler Murray. So I made a mistake there, not taking up my guy Tank Dell, whom I have even ranked ahead of Diggs. But Diggs way higher floor, and especially PPR there. I think my our rankings is half PPR, but man, Dell when they're all healthy on a given week, like you look at a DFS site, I'm going to predict that Dell at some point has the highest, you know, if they're all healthy. I mean, he has in a week this year, I predict he'll have the highest salary at some point. I get that he's tough to stand a whole year. I mean, you see how small he looks out there with the big helmet, but man, another, you know, give me the Tank Dell upside over your guy Diggs. I just do worry he faded last year, joining a new system, 11th year in the league historically. I don't love the upside there.
Yeah. I'm curious, kind of big picture structural question here for you after I say this. Diggs, I did end up sort of just saying, like you mentioned it, PPR, I think he's going to catch a lot of passes. I think he's going to be that third, fourth down player for them. First read guy there on these quick hitting routes. I think there's a chance he could, even if we're not getting the same targets that we used to with Stephon Diggs, I think he could be pretty close to Nico Collins in terms of catching the most passes on this team. So in full PPR, I was like, oh, round 4, I'm just going to go Stephon Diggs here again. I didn't love that pick, but like you, I didn't want to fall behind on wide receiver. That's something when you're starting 3 wide receivers, you want to make sure you have you want to have that like locked in. Just a couple notes from this draft. 11 of the first 15 picks were wide receivers. There were 24 in the first 3 rounds, including 11 of 12 in round 3. Round 3 was really the receiver round. The only non-wide receiver that went in the 3rd round was Sam Laporta to KD Braun's team. So I say that to say, yes, whenever there's like a change from a scoring setting perspective, half PPR to full PPR, much less, you know, standard, I do think, especially when you're starting 3 wide receivers, you have to boost wide receiver. You have to take more of those guys. However, how often do you actually make individual ranking changes within a position when it comes to like half PPR to full PPR? Like I said, I took Stephon Diggs just because I think he's going to catch a lot of passes. So I had him over some guys, you know, that I might actually feel that I might have taken him over a few guys that I feel better about from a full season perspective. But I don't know that I always really like to do that. So in half PPR, full PPR, how much of a difference do you view within a position?
Yeah, just some outliers. You know, Michael Pittman's a receiver that actually was crazy. He was like wide receiver 13 with PPR, wide receiver 19, half PPR. Alvin Kamara, huge boost, and your guy Henry and Kenneth Walker the other ways. So yeah, just know your league setting and adjust accordingly. But it's really more outliers, and I try not to. I'm still like in on a guy even if it doesn't fit the format as well. I'm more in on his how he's going to do this year. One I want to talk about the wide receivers before we move on. There is one of in my column coming up this week is I'm going to rank. I have decided on Justin Jefferson over Ja'Marr Chase. And it's only whatever one spot, but that's an important decision people are going to be making this year. So Chase's best season in yards per game and yards per route run would be Jefferson's worst. Looking into Burrow, not just the injuries that he just completes piling up and this wrist, let's say that's fully healthy and he was slinging it out there recently. You just look at the trends of when the defenses have turned to too high safety. It doesn't mean that a quarterback can't be successful, but man, it's going to be tougher for Chase to put up monster numbers. I mean, the ADOT and the yards per route run and his rate of explosive plays have declined each of the last 2 seasons. Burrow's got 6.98 YPA since 2022, Harmon. 22 games, 6.98, under 7 YPA Burrow in a 26 game sample. By the way, Chase is holding in right now. I don't hear people talking about it a lot, but he's not practicing. And T. Higgins is full. What if he's actually fully healthy this year? I mean, I don't know. I like drafting Jefferson and maybe even Amon-Ra St. Brown, get to play indoors all these games. Obviously, the quarterback could be a big problem there, but that's where I've settled. They both have questions, don't get me wrong, but I'm actually going to take Jefferson in PPR over Chase.
Yeah, you went T. Higgins in round five. I would rather have him over George Pickens and Zay Flowers, who both went in round four. And I think it's pretty it's a very close call between Tank Dell and T. Higgins, who, again, Tank Dell went in round four. I have those guys back to back in rankings. So I think I'm with you that T. Higgins, it feels a little bit undervalued this year just because he's coming off an injury prone or an injury plagued season from last year. And your Burrow point is pretty well taken, man, because he hasn't had those like monster numbers from like a passing perspective the last couple of seasons. He's obviously dealt with injuries. That is just a part of the Joe Burrow experience at this point. The one thing I will say, because I do have Ja'Marr Chase ranked over Justin Jefferson, whatever we're saying about Joe Burrow, it's going to be better than Sam Darnold. It's going to be better than,
fair,
you know,
okay,
than rookie year J.J. McCarthy. And I will just note this, that, you know, this is a projection. This is just a guess. I am guessing that it's going to be tough for the Bengals to justify just kind of going with that spread out shotgun offense after seeing the offensive success that they had with throwing some more creative wrinkles with Jake Browning back there. Obviously, you know, they have to convince Joe Burrow to do those things and get under center and do play action and all of that type of stuff. But at the same time, I do just wonder if that we'll see a different type of and more efficient Bengals offense this year than we have maybe the last 2 years.
Burrow 38th in downfield passing rate 2022, 32nd in intended air yards per attempt last year, and reports are suggesting more of the same. I mean, they're just saying that's what Burrow is so smart. You know, that's his best ability, and he just takes what the defense gives him. So, again, these guys can be highly, highly successful. I just think Burrow is the QB8 right now, and Chase typically in every draft going ahead of Jefferson and St. Brown, and I think there are some questions there.
Any other picks of yours that you really want to highlight here? Dalton, I thought it was interesting that you went Jaden Daniels and Caleb Williams in rounds 9 and 11, respectively.
And one other thing with Chase, and people don't point this out enough, maybe I'm overthinking things, but having to face the Ravens, Steelers, and Browns 35% of the games is not ideal. Like, that's those are tough ones. So, Jaden Daniels, I waited on quarterback. You got Kyler Richardson stolen, another homer, Brock Purdy, Aaron took from me, and then you took Kyler Murray. Those are all my targets. My targets are that exactly. That's where I'm attacking the quarterback position. Anthony Richardson, if he's not there, Brock. If he's not there, Jaden Daniels, and hopefully get one of those three. And then, yeah, maybe it's a little weird going to quarterback again in round 11, but I like to be kind of the last to draft, the starter first to draft a backup, and I wasn't quite that. I think P&L beat me with Burrow even after Daniels, but this guy, I don't know if he's going to get hurt, and the sack to pressure rate in college was scary, but Jaden Daniels just ran so much in college, and he even has Terry McLaurin in a fast-paced offense. I'm all in on him. I think he, I shouldn't say all in, but I mean, it's a guy you can get in round 9 and 10. I just think the upside is too high. Jaden Daniels truly elite runner, led all NCAA quarterbacks last year in missed tackles, yards per carry, scrambles. His scramble rate was just out of control. So you look at the history of running quarterbacks, and not only does it present upside, it presents a really high floor. Like the last 25 quarterbacks had 100 rushing attempts, like 4% weren't top 12 fantasy QBs or something. So you just chase the stats there, and I think he's going to be valuable on the ground.
Yeah, it's definitely a chase the stats type of situation. I think that the Commanders' offense could be maybe a little bit better than people think, just because, like, if Jaden Daniels is good, there are good players here. I think Cliff Kingsbury's style of offense will at least lend itself to Jaden Daniels being immediately impactful. The offensive line gives me huge question marks, but at the same time, do you think Jaden Daniels can be a quarterback one simply because of that rushing? I have got him right now as QB11, and I think that he's the last guy sort of in that tier of players you're mentioning that should be pretty significant, you know, potentially pretty significant difference makers if everything breaks right. And then I think there's a drop off to basically everybody else from QB12 on.
And it's deeper than ever. I mean, Justin Fields may become starter. Drake May would be usable once he becomes a starter. A four-time MVP winner is going as the QB like 22 in Yahoo with Aaron Rodgers. Deshaun Watson's a few seasons removed being like the best player in the league. He's 28 years old. He runs. He's the QB 24 on Yahoo. I mean, it's there is so deep because I mean I've never seen quarterback this deep. I think a lot of leagues maybe or more leagues will migrate to Superflex as a result because I mean this is just it's crazy. I think Geno Smith is a great sleeper this year with a ton of weapons, 1 year removed from leading the NFC in passing touchdowns and now has a way better offensive coordinator. And he's, you know, not even he's being undrafted in Yahoo leagues. I mean, quarterback is as deep as ever. So your five, Jaden Daniels, you know, Burns, whatever. So I pick yeah, someone up. But Caleb Williams, I think, is live to be a top 10 too right away because he can run. He sneakily ran for a lot of touchdowns. So that's why I thought there was a difference. You said the 12. I would include Caleb there as right there. I would not be surprised if he had, you know, outscored Jordan Love this season.
Spicy. I kind of like that. But I wonder just if you're talking about the depth of the position and if that does push people away from the, you know, kind of elite quarterbacks, the high-end quarterbacks, because in this draft, at least it did, right? In the first quarterback didn't come off the board until the fourth round, 42nd overall. That was, of course, Josh Allen. Then we saw Jalen Hurts go off the board in the fourth round. Lamar Jackson also went off the board in the fourth round. So it's interesting, man, because I have been like, I've been drafting a ton of Josh Allen and Jalen Hurts the previous 2 years. Now I do kind of wonder if because of the kind of this, I don't know if the I don't know if I want to call it the overstated nature of these wide receiver resumes in round two, the way that position has been elevated. I don't know if I'm going to, you know, then want to come back and pluck some of the fourth round wide receivers or something like that. But if the position is deep, this might be the first year that I kind of move away from the Josh Allen and Jalen Hurts builds because that has been a pretty significant difference, at least in terms of my draft so far.
So I won't argue there's a right or wrong way here because, yes, it's super deep and you can build those running backs and wide receivers. Absolutely, I'm all for that. But my only pushback to you, Harmon, would be that just I still am all for targeting the dual threat QBs. They're just, sure. They separate themselves. Here's that stat I was mentioning. So among 27 quarterbacks with 100-plus carries the past 10 seasons, 41% have finished as top three and only three finished outside the top 12. To better illustrate this, Tua led the NFL in passing yards last year and finished as the QB and threw the fifth most touchdowns and finished as the QB 19th in fantasy points per game. Anthony Richardson outscored Tua's weekly average while playing 17 snaps in week two. Jalen Hurts went from QB 2 to QB 16 if he removed his touchdowns. Josh Dobbs was traded twice, got 5.9 YPA, and finished as a top 5 fantasy QB three different times last year. He was top 10 five different times. So I think you can get a leg up if you get one of these dual threat runners. That's why my favorite's Anthony Richardson, if you can get him in the 6, because I think he has the same upside and he belongs in the same tier. And then Jaden Daniels not far off. So again, you can't go wrong on the quarterback here. There's no right strategy. But I do think grabbing one of these dual threat guys still does give you a distinct advantage.
All right, let's take one last quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk through where the cliff comes at the tight end position. All right, Dalton, last thing I want to discuss here. I felt like round 6 is sort of where the cliff takes place at the tight end position. For little clarity's sake here, you went with Trey McBride in the fourth round. I waited a long time to take Dallas Goedert in the 10th round. Round 6 for tight ends this year, or at least in this draft, your guy George Kittle, that George Kittle take I want to talk about a little more. That was pretty spicy. He went in the 6th round. I also see Kyle Pitts went in the very final, one of the last two picks here in the 6th round. To me, like, I look at the rest of the tight ends, I think Jake Ferguson went way too early in this draft. Evan Ingram went way too early in the 7th round, both of those two guys. I don't see a big difference between those two players necessarily. I do kind of like Jake Ferguson. I think he's maybe a little bit undervalued, but Evan Ingram for sure. I don't see any difference between like Evan Ingram and Dallas Goedert. So to me, I think the cliff sort of takes place right around this area of the draft. What do you think?
For me, it's after number, so I would go McBride, Laporta, Kelsey, Andrews, Kittle, Kincaid, and Pitts. Yes, I'm still in on Pitts. And then I think, yes, I'm with you there after Pitts. Did you include Pitts?
Yes. Yeah, I think he's
okay.
Part of that.
Okay. Yeah. So Ingram and Njoku had the big splits, without Deshaun Watson last year. Ingram quietly had massive splits with and without Christian Kirk last year. He really put up a lot of numbers when Kirk was out. Ferguson, all those red zone targets, he couldn't turn into touchdowns, and his underlying metrics are questionable, but he could be the number two target on Dallas. And then, yeah, Goddard and Bowers, I'm with you there, similar players. So you want to talk a little George Kittle?
Yes. You have him, you said, over Dalton Kincaid. Is that more of a Kincaid skepticism or Kittle optimism take?
A little of both, but I'm still in on, well, I guess I'm not in on Kincaid in some ECR if I'm having Kittle higher, but I'm okay with Kincaid belonging in that tier, but I like Kittle irrespective of ADP higher. He led the league in yards per route run, yards per target, yards per reception, yards per team attempt, EPA, and deep targets last year. Career high route participation, 95%. Wide gap if you look at ESPN's receiver rating, Kittle and all the other tight ends. And he did that playing through a core muscle injury that required offseason surgery, played about 10 weeks with it. Now, that's nothing new for him. He's always playing with something. I'm not saying he's going to be healthy this year, but he's 1 year removing from scoring 11 touchdowns after Purdy took over. And what if Ayuk gets traded? I don't even want to think of it. I like how the two latest rumors, one involves Amari Cooper in Cleveland, and the other involves Kendrick Bourne in New England. I'm like, one of these things are not quite like the others. especially a Bourne coming off a torn ACL. It's like, which one should they go after? There's just massive splits too if Debo goes down. So I like Kittle there, and he's been a top five fantasy tight end for I believe five straight years. Kincaid, he did not post great first yards per route run, first downs per route run. He ranked 25th. He averaged 21 routes over the last six games, including the playoffs, when Knox returns. Like, I get maybe I'll look like a donkey worrying about Dawson Knox, and they lost Stephon Diggs. But the media is telling us that Knox will remain an important part of the Bills' offense. They're more successful in 12 personnel. Yeah, Diggs is gone, but he wasn't any good the second half last year, and they added Keon Coleman, Curtis Samuel, Shakir will develop. So Kincaid wasn't a beast in the red zone or anything, and I think, again, Kittle scored 11 touchdowns 1 year removed from. So I'm going Kittle over Kincaid, and the nice thing is he's available later in most drafts.
Yeah, I'm not there in terms of Kittle over Kincaid, but I do have some Kincaid skepticism, and I haven't ended up clicking him a lot. I do think there's a pretty significant tier break between those top four players that I mentioned earlier, Kelsey, Laporta, McBride, and Andrews, down to Kincaid. I think there's, a pretty significant drop-off here.
Same number as red zone targets last year Knox had as Kincaid. His target share dropped from 20% to 14%. Tight end 6 to the tight end 18 whenever Knox was on the field. I get it. This doesn't translate and splits are silly and things are going to be different this year and all that. But it's something worth noting that they both play the tight end position. They're more effective out of 12. So, I mean, you explain to me how they're going to make him suddenly, yes, he's going to get more targets. And he had like the 10th most receiving yards for a tight end ever last year. He's a solid player, but certainly not blow your through the roof type underlying stats that McBride has.
Yes, exactly. That's sort of been part of my concern. I just think he's going to have to get a significant volume bump. And I'm not sure that that's coming. Like, I could see him being 110 type of target player, but for him to sort of break past his ADP, not just be like a net win in the fifth round, but sort of exceed that, I think he needs to get 120, 125. You know, I think he needs to get some of that tight end, elite tight end one type of usage. And I'm just not all the way there yet because of all those receivers that you mentioned. These guys are not like what the Chiefs rolled out last year. Curtis Samuel, Keon Coleman, Khalil Shakir, and even some of those big kind of X receivers like the Mac Hollins types. Like these guys, well, Mac Hollins notwithstanding, but these guys are good players. Like Shakir and Coleman and Samuel are going to be good. James Cook is still involved in the passing game. Like the Chiefs offense, they would have mowed through the league with those wide receivers last year. This is not that type of situation where, oh, we're counting on Kincaid to be Travis Kelce. I don't know that they're counting on him to be Travis Kelce. I think they're counting on him to be a good quality tight end starter, but I don't know that he's going to be the central figure of their offense, if that makes sense.
And I hate saying it. He is actually, it's not just a joke. He's named after the goat Dalton from Roadhouse. So his parents named him after the goat Dalton. So I hate to do it, Dalton, but I'm taking Kittle over him. But he'll have a very nice year. There's nothing. I'm not saying don't draft Kincaid. I'm all for drafting these one of these top seven tight ends, to be clear. Pitts or Kincaid, get him. I think you have a leg up.
Yeah, the guys I'm waffling on in that tier is the Jake Ferguson and David Njoku types, because I do kind of think that, you know, those guys can still potentially be very solid options, but I don't know if they have like difference maker in their range of outcomes. You know, certainly Ferguson, I think, should be the second best pass catcher in Dallas, you know, by a significant margin potentially. I think he's fine. I think David Njoku was awesome last year, but it makes me a little nervous that it was mostly with Joe Flacco, not with Deshaun Watson. And that should be a pretty crowded wide receiver room as well. So does that bring down David Njoku's target percentage? So yeah, I'm with you that it might be more of like the top seven than, whereas I kind of think it might have been the top nine. Now I'm sort of wondering if those guys, Ferguson and Njoku, are closer to like Evan Engram, Dallas Goedert, and Pat Freiermuth and Brock Bowers and those types.
And then do you have anyone in that next tier? I do like Freiermuth and Taysom Hill. It sounds like he's going to be more involved, kind of like those guys. But then it's like there's just so many late round flyers. Just wait. I mean, Jonnu Smith's going undrafted in Yahoo leagues. McDaniel's claiming that Miami will use the tight end position more. I know he's kind of rotating right now, but this guy was Kyle Pitts' fantasy managers hate it, but he was pretty good last year, and he recorded the two fastest ball carrier speeds, really good yards after the catch. So, I mean, he could be a guy. Any thoughts, Jonnu?
I think the second time you've brought up Jonnu Smith on the podcast, and I'm with you on it at least being interesting. I don't have him ranked super, super highly, but I mean, this could be a potentially good offense for him to get that type of usage. He's two receivers clearing out space, getting some underneath yards after catch opportunities. That is where he's been at his best in his career.
What about Hawkinson, man? He suffered a multi-ligament knee injury, required 36 days of rest. He didn't have surgery until January 29th. I mean, there's some doctors saying Twitter doctors saying he won't be really ready until like week 12. So I wouldn't expect him the first 2 months of the year, and maybe not a full 100%. Just depends on your roster and how much you can stash a guy, because I don't know. I don't love that he's going to not have Kirk Cousins as quarterback either. I mean,
yeah, exactly. I can't take him. He didn't go in this draft. I still have him, you know, ranked as like tight end 15, because when he's healthy, he probably can be that type of guy. But I really don't know if you should draft him, just because he's, you know, and again, if everyone takes one tight end, he would not go drafted at like if he's tight end 15 or whatever. But the problem with it is that not only do we not know when he's going to be back. As you mentioned, I think Dr. Edwin Porras was on the show, and he said he's not going to be ready until like October. He's not even going to be playing until October was his guess. And then when he's going to be effective, who knows? The problem with it is that even if he is back and he is effective, this is a new offense, right? By that point, like J.J. McCarthy might be playing, and they might be really trying to establish the run with Aaron Jones and Ty Chandler. You know, they might be trying to be pretty conservative on offense at that point. And when they're passing the ball, it's going to Justin Jefferson probably 30 to 35% of the time. How much volume is there really there for T.J. Hockenson to soak up? That, I think, is the biggest problem. I don't think that whatever his typical usage has been in the Kirk Cousins offense will map to this year.
All right. That's fair.
Dalton, this whole show was great, buddy. Really appreciate you for doing it. As always, make sure you're reading all of Dalton's work on the website. In the meantime, please like, subscribe, rate, and review the podcast. All of those things are super helpful to us. It would really mean a lot to me personally, if you would rate and review the podcast. If you give it a 5-star rating, if you give it a 4-star rating, if you get a 3-star rating, it does not mean a lot to me personally. It only means a lot to me personally if you give it a 5-star rating and review. You can also send us emails, fantasymailbag@yahoosports.com. Written emails are nice, but voice memos and videos are even better if you've got something to say to us here on the show. On Tuesday, we are going to continue rankings week with JJ Zacharyson as we identify his 5 favorite and least favorite ADPs this draft season. That's going to be a banger. Until then, we're out.